this warmer but kind of dreary day. Here in East Tennessee, it's beautiful even in spite of our clouds and such. George and I were talking earlier about how Tennessee actually has seasons, whereas some other spots in the country have winter and then when's winter coming back? So, or if you're of another nature, summer or when's summer coming back? So, but it's good to have you all here this morning. It's good to see everyone. A couple of announcements. We will have Bible study at 5 o'clock over at Terry and Nora Lee's house. We're still in 1 John. We'll probably finish that this week and move into 2 John. So everyone is invited and welcome to come. We always have a good time, and we always have good food. So let me think. The only other announcements that we have at the moment are that the general conference has been postponed again another year. And because there are certain things that general conference has to do, the Council of Bishops has decided to get together to do some of those things. I know that I've seen some people have been upset about it, but there's nothing to be upset about. The only things that are going on with the Council of Bishops meeting are things like, what's the retirement age for bishops, and clergy health care, and just this basic kind of everyday, day-to-day things that happen in any large group. So they're not doing any legislation that changes doctrines of the church or anything like that. They're postponing that until next year. So, but just wanted to let you know they do ask for your prayers as they try to figure out how best to do all this. And let's see. I believe that's all the announcements that we have at this moment. So let us begin our worship service with our chiming of the hour. Please stand for our first hymn. For those of you who are at home, we will be singing hymn number 374, Standing on the Promises, the first and last verses. Oh, three verses. So first and all three? Is that how it's working? Okay. Just sing until Clayton quits playing. We'll do it that way. So... Thank you. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version, number 881, if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And we're going to start with praises. First off, I want to welcome our visitors today. I'm not going to embarrass you because I hate being put on the spot, but welcome to all of our visitors. I'm Reverend Sam Reese, the pastor. And if you need to contact me for anything, my phone number should be on the back of the bulletin, but I also have business cards in the narthex there, so feel free to grab one of those. Our other praise is that Mike and Beth's granddaughter got baptized. As y'all know, we Methodists baptize when they're young because of the way that we view baptism. And so we have some pictures from that. We did have a video, but unfortunately it was a little too small to put on the screen here. So there she is, Emma Lynn Grace, baptized on Valentine's Day. It's a good time to get baptized. So, and if y'all didn't know that Mike and Beth have a granddaughter, you just haven't been talking to Beth because she has been telling everybody. She's very excited, and we're very excited with her. So, Now at this time, let us bring our prayer requests as well as any other praises that we might have before the body and before the Lord. I come with a few myself that I've gotten from the past week or so. March, is it 15th? March 15th that Abel has his surgery? 30th. Okay, March 30th, Abel is going to have eye surgery. And he has to be effectively blind for like 3 days. They got to wrap him in gauze and all that kind of stuff. So he doesn't know that yet, so if you see Abel between now and the end of March, don't tell him. But keep him in your prayers for a successful surgery, but also his mother for dealing with that in recovery. You can imagine having a little boy who doesn't have use of his eyes for a little bit, and it's going to be difficult, I can imagine. So, and then the day after that, Bailey has her EEG, correct? So Bailey will have an EEG. They're trying to figure out what's going on with her seizures and all that kind of stuff. And then Brittany, their mother, on top of all that, she has some illnesses, some things going on as far as health-related that she's dealing with. And she may have lupus and some other stuff. They're not sure what all is going on. But just keep Terry and her family in your prayers. I know they would appreciate it. And then last Tuesday, Larry sent me a message and said that his dad had to be taken to the hospital, and he stayed in the hospital for about a day and a half or so. And he had high blood pressure. He was non-responsive, that kind of stuff. But they said that he's having some thyroid problems as well as some issues with his heart rhythm. So they discharged him on Thursday, and he's at home recuperating. But keep him in your prayers as well as Larry, because I know that Larry is having a difficult time. Also, Alan Owings goes for a biopsy. When was his biopsy?
March 17th.
That's where I had that on. March 17th, Alan goes for his biopsy. And so keep him in your prayers, if you will. And then last Sunday, I told you about a young man who had gone missing up in Claiborne County. And you may have seen on the news, but they did find his body. And that's unfortunate, obviously. And they had his funeral yesterday. So now they have pretty much decided that it was a homicide. And so they're looking for information and things such as that. So just pray for comfort for the family, as well as for justice to be done as well. And also Jane, who goes to Chevrant, she was not feeling well today. She was having trouble moving around. Some days, since she's had her stroke, she gets around fine, and other days, she doesn't. And today's one of the doesn't days. So, and then also, Liliana, you may have noticed, isn't here this morning. That's why it's so much quieter. But she is traveling with her grandmother and her grandfather. They're coming up here today from just south of Atlanta, so keep them in your prayers, if you will. And other than that, I don't have anything. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. And Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come before you, Lord, with many prayer requests, and it is in our nature often to ask for things while forgetting the things that you have blessed us with. And so, Lord, we do want to thank you for the baptism of this beautiful little girl. And we pray for continued blessing, strength, health, and growth for her. And we pray for her family as well. Lord, we also thank you that it seems as if it's starting to get a little bit warmer. And we're thankful that spring is coming. Lord, we also have many things that are going on in our lives and in the lives of loved ones. Most of them are focused around health. And we pray for all of those who are having health issues or who are having surgeries or who are having tests done, for Alan and for Bailey and for Abel, for Arville and Jane. And we pray for all of those who are affected by COVID, and all of those who are affected by other illnesses and other diseases and such. Lord, may you teach us that every day is a blessing. And may we take that knowledge and use it to be a blessing to others. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that your presence would fill this place, that you would be with us always, because you are with us always. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One thing I meant to ask, Dave and Sharon, how's your son and his family doing? Okay, absolutely, we will. As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn. We'll understand it better by and by. This one, is it first and last verses on this one? Okay, first and last verses, and it's number 525 if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. As a reminder, you can give in the basket here or the one that's in the narthex there. You can give online on our Facebook page as well as our Facebook group. You can also mail in your payment or drop it off in the mailbox. The mailbox is secure. And the bishop has asked us to not be at the church as much as possible, so Wanda and I aren't here as often as we are, as we have been in the past, but if you happen to see one of our cars, you can bring it by if you happen to be driving by. But however you decide to give your tithes and your offerings, we pray that you would follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit for wisdom and guidance in that area. At this time, let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture.
What?
Oh, wait, never mind. Don't do that. Clayton has a special song to play for us. We're going to have a talk with you later, Clayton. Let's enjoy our special music from Clayton and Elena. Thank you both for that beautiful music. Appreciate it very much. Now at this time, as you're able, please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Our scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't know what to say because they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they were looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. I think I've told y'all that Peter is one of my favorite disciples. And the main reason for that is because I kind of feel a kinship to Peter. Peter and I, in a lot of ways, are a lot alike. Peter is impulsive. Peter often says things before he thinks about the consequences of the things that he says. Peter often makes promises without knowing if he can keep those promises. Peter has a good heart and the best of intentions, but his follow-through isn't always the best. Peter is stubborn. Peter is very human. And that's the beauty of someone like Peter. In this passage, we see Peter trying to do good things and missing the point all at the same time, right? Here we are. Jesus has taken three of his closest disciples up on top of a mountain. And they experience this beautiful, awesome moment. Moses and Elijah show up. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. Jesus glows with a glow that can't be reproduced. Scripture says His appearance was so white that you couldn't make clothes that white. You couldn't make paint that white on this earth if you tried. It was beautiful. It was awe-inspiring. It was a moment that few people would ever experience in their lives. And Peter wants to build tents. Why did Peter want to build tents? Well, I mean, in Peter's defense, Peter wanted to capture that moment, right? A tent is a dwelling. Peter wanted to stay there. Peter wanted to enjoy what he was experiencing, but the problem was he wasn't enjoying what he was experiencing. He was making preparations to enjoy what he was experiencing. Peter, like many of us, struggled to live in the moment. One of the things that's interesting in our time is, you know, pretty much everybody has a cell phone. The vast majority of people that have cell phones, their cell phone can take a picture or video, right? And so that's what we do, right? We take pictures and we do videos and we have all these things, these moments that we take and we want to capture and we want to cherish and we want to remember. But some people have observed that in the process of trying to keep the memory, we wind up being absent from the experience. See, human beings tend to live in the past or in the future. For good and bad reasons, right? The past can be a place where a lot of hurt and a lot of anxiety and a lot of anger and things such as that, where they reside in the past, whether it's through things like abuse or bad relationships or just the things that happen in life. The past is also where good things exist, right? That's where our memories exist. That's where the things that we love and we cherish, the people that have passed on, that's where they live. They live inside our memories. The future is the same. We worry about the future. We're concerned. We think, oh man, do I have enough life insurance if something should happen to me? Will my family be taken care of? What do I do about a will and that kind of stuff? And even end of life things, like how am I going to pay my bills next week? And where's the money going to come from? And boy, I hope I get a job. Boy, I hope I don't lose my job. Boy, I hope I get to go back to work. I hope I don't get sick. I hope they find a vaccine. I hope. But on the positive side, I can't wait till I'm done with my degree. I can't wait till I get this job. I can't wait till I get to go here. I can't wait till I get to do this. We are constantly waiting for something. But the saying is that yesterday is dead and gone and tomorrow's out of sight, right? Tomorrow never comes. It's always tomorrow until it's today. And then it's yesterday. That's the nature of life. That's the nature of time. But we forget to live today. Being a father of a little girl, I can appreciate even more these days why Jesus says that you should be like little children. Some people take that as an insult. Oh, you should be like little children, helpless and defenseless. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Sometime if you don't have little kids in your immediate vicinity or whatever, just watch little kids. Watch how they live. Little kids don't know prejudice. They don't know racism. They don't know sexism. They don't know any of the isms out there. What they know is, look, there's somebody who might be nice and want to play with me. I think I'll see if they want to play with me. That's what they do, you know? Children don't have a lot of fears. A lot of fears children have are either just instinctual or imaginary. Most of them are imaginary. Liliana sometimes doesn't like to be in her room by herself because she says that, you know, there might be monsters in the bed or in the closet. If she sees maybe a spider web where the maid forgot to, you know, take care of the spider webs. We have a terrible maid. I think everybody has a terrible maid at their house, but she's worried there's a spider, you know, and that kind of stuff. But she doesn't really worry about a lot. She's not really afraid of a lot of things. She has no concept of time, really. She understands, for instance, we can't tell her too soon, or I should say too far ahead of time, that she gets to go visit my mom or Lynette's mom or other relatives or people. Because what winds up happening is this. If we say, okay, now, next Monday, we're going to go and see Grammy. Well, now we've opened up a can of worms. Because that evening, is it next Monday yet? The next morning, is it next Monday yet? She'll wear you out. So you got to wait until we're closer to time. She has no real concept of time. Every day is truly new and fresh to her. Every moment is now, and it's exciting. One of the funny things with her is that she's been watching a lot of videos. There's a YouTube channel that she loves. It's these little girls, and they play with Barbie dolls, and they tell stories with their Barbie dolls. And Liliana loves it. She thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, and she will watch it and watch it and watch it. And so the Barbies went to the beach one day. And since then, Liliana wants to go to the beach. Now, I like the beach. Most people like the beach. But I've noticed that as an adult, when I go to the beach, this is what I think of. I wonder how many people are going to be on that beach. I wonder if we could go to if we could maybe find a private beach. Are they going to make us pay to park? Oh, I hope this sunscreen is enough, and I hope we apply it enough. I hope I don't get sunburned. Man, it sure is hot out here, and the sand is itchy, and you know, the ocean is kind of pretty, but what if the tide comes in? I'll have to move my seat again, and you know, I think of all the problems of the beach, and though I enjoy it, it takes away from my joy. Liliana hasn't been to the beach, but all she sees at the beach is, look, water. A place I haven't been. Something new. Something to explore. Jesus wants us to be like little children, not because he wants us to be childish, but because he wants us to be childlike. To not lose that wonder, that zest for life. To not stop asking questions. Kids ask a lot of questions. They ask questions you would never think to ask yourself. And you don't know the answer to either. Peter was in a beautiful moment. And all he could think about was, what do I say? What do I do? And all that Jesus wanted him to do was experience the moment. Everybody says we live in unprecedented times. We don't really live in unprecedented times. There have been troubles before in the world. There's bad and there's good. But they're unprecedented for us in a lot of ways. And we can't help but focus on, when is it going to be over? When will the vaccines be out? When can we stop wearing these masks? When can we return to normal? When can we? What if God is using this time to teach us that just because life throws you curveballs, it doesn't mean you stop swinging for the fences? Maybe the lesson, or one of the many lessons, of these times that we live in is that life changes, sometimes radically and sometimes completely out of our control. But God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust him to guide us through this, just as he has guided all of the church and all of his people throughout all of history. Let's strive, brothers and sisters, not to live in the what ifs, or what will, or when will. Let us strive to live in the blessing of now, and to be a blessing now to others as well. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can think about the things of Christ. Help us to be a blessing in all things. Help us to live now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you.